Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of James chapter 1, we were talking about being tempted to sin through our own lust. Let's continue with that study today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of man. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can.
Notice verse 14 back in James 1. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Every man is drawn away of his own lust because we have a sin nature that draws us away. We inherited that from Adam. But in Jesus Christ, he did not have a sin nature that would draw him away. Man is drawn away of his own lust. Lust has the idea of not only desire, but a desire that is faulty, sinful, or evil. Going back to Hebrews 4 and verse 15, we know that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That means he was tempted in all points as we are, apart from indwelling sin. Satan, scribes, and the Pharisees each solicited him to sin. But he did not submit to speak wrongly or to act wrongly because he could not. He revolted against sin and he rejected every offer to commit sin because there was nothing carnal in him that could respond to temptation. His temptations never sprang, as in our case, from sinful desire. There was no sinful desire on his part. The temptations and enticements from without left his sinless nature undisturbed and unscarred. The temptation of Christ in the wilderness tried the physical side, bread, the mental side, trust, as he was at the pinnacle of the temple, and then the spiritual side, to worship Satan. But you see, Jesus is impeccable. Now, by the impeccability of Christ, we mean that not only did he not sin, but my friend, he could not sin. So why the temptation? It was not to prove that Jesus could fall that the Father allowed the testing. It was rather to prove to men that he, that is, that Jesus, could not fall. Now, think with me. If he could have fallen, then that means that any moment, your salvation and my salvation is in doubt. I am eternally secure, and I can go to him with all things because he cannot fail. Yes, God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. In John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Oh, my friend, listen. If Jesus could have fallen, then our salvation could be lost. You see, when you have a wrong step in doctrine in one area, it affects doctrines in other areas. If you're not right on the impeccability of Christ, then you have a hard time taking a stand for the security of the believer. Now notice, I am not saying that our Lord Jesus was able not to sin. Rather, he was not able to sin, and there is a difference. Now, I hope you didn't miss what I just said. Again, we're not saying that our Lord Jesus was able not to sin, but he was not able to sin. You see, in our life, there are places and times where we are able not to sin. However, we are able to sin, even in those times we're able not to sin. But Jesus was not able to sin, not ever. There was never any inclination in Jesus to do wrong things that he was tempted to do. It is we, fallen man, who needs help, because we have a sin nature, and so we have in that inherited sin nature something within us that can respond to that outward temptation. You see, by contrast to the impeccability of Christ, man is depraved. Look again at verse 13 of James 1. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. The word tempted there has the idea in Greek of to solicit to sin. So do not say that God has solicited you to sin. Now there are those that say since God created Satan and man and knew that man would fall, God therefore is the one who tempts to sin. Now understand, we are not God's sheltered people. Rather, we are God's scattered people. We will be tried. And by the way, yes, God did create us. And yes, he knew ahead of time what we would do. But he created us with a free will. That's how he created us in his image. He did not make us robots. Now, God is not tempted with evil. And as a result, there is nothing in him that can tempt others to do evil. And that ties in with verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Blame the right person. Don't blame God. It seems today that whether it is government, religion, home, school, war, what have you, we have replaced the term personal responsibility with the placing of blame on others. We try to blame our past. We try to blame our families, our environment. No, my friend, we are responsible for our actions. Jesus stood the test in the worst of circumstances. Adam failed in the best of circumstances. We see how Adam reacted in the garden, when the Lord says, what have you done? Instead of taking the responsibility, Adam says, the woman thou gavest me. And Eve did the same thing about the serpent. The poor man cannot blame his dishonesty on poverty. The drunkard cannot blame his alcoholism on the ones that gave him the first drink. We cannot blame the attacks of terrorists on poverty conditions. Therefore, never excuse your wrongdoing by blaming the providence of God, your environment, your parents, your mate, or your peers. And by the way, parents, it's easy as parents that as our children and teens get older to want to compromise. to allow things that they put the pressure on to allow. But remember, we are not to remove the ancient landmarks. The Word of God changes not. Jesus Christ changes not. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Will society change? Oh, yes. Society is changeable. But God is absolute, and He never changes. Well, verse 14, again here in James chapter 1, says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And so we see those two words, lust and enticed. Lust is from within. Enticed is from without. Temptation is therefore both internal and external. Not everyone has the same temptation. One person may be tempted to overeat, while another person is tempted to drink. One is tempted to tobacco, while another is tempted to pornography. Now, what is a temptation to one may never be a temptation to another, and vice versa. For example, somebody may be tempted to be lazy, put things off, whereas another one may be tempted to work so much that he ignores the responsibilities of his home and his church. One may be tempted to gossip, find fault, and run things down, whereas another may be tempted not to face things and confront things that need to be confronted. An evil which is desirable to one person may be repulsive to another. You see, temptations are different for different people, but we all have a sin nature that responds differently to different temptations. The bottom line is this. It is what appeals to our natural desires of that inherited, depraved nature. When you go fishing, you may get a mushy, wiggling worm. And where do you place it? Well, not as the old joke says, in your mouth to keep it warm. No, you place it on a hook. The worm is tempting to the fish. It's not tempting to you, but it really is to the fish. However, the worm is more alluring than it actually is. And the term drawn away in our text actually has this idea of baiting a trap in its Greek usage. It's the way we would bait a hook for fishing. It means to wander, to go away from the truth. As a matter of fact, as a present passive, it is the idea of starting to wander and continuing to wander as you are led. It is a passive thing where the fish is drawn from its way. It sees the bait, and it begins to follow the bait. It begins to dwell upon it. No fish will knowingly take an unbaited hook. So the idea is to hide the hook by using the bait. And temptation always carries with it some bait. It appeals to our natural desires. And the bait will help us to look only at the moment, but not look at the long-range consequences of the sin, of the indulgence. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.